Question number two is this. If the New Testament church was not restored until the 1800s during the Restoration Movement, then where was the Church of Christ all of those years before? Didn't Jesus say that Hades would not overcome his church? Well, there's a lot of information in that question. Let me explain the question for just a minute. During the 1800s, a group of men decided that they really did not want to adhere anymore to Protestant religion of that day and age. And they decided that they weren't going to take any creeds or confessions of faith or catechisms or anything of that nature. And they just wanted to be plain old New Testament Christians. And there were some leaders of this group that eventually sought to establish New Testament Christianity and New Testament Christianity only. And some of these leaders may be familiar to you. Barton W. Stone was the name of one of them. Alexander Campbell was the name of the other. And so they started what is referred to now as the Restoration Movement. And the Restoration Movement said, well, we don't want to reform that which is broken. We want to restore that which is right and good. And so they said, we're just going to go back to the Bible and think about what the Bible says and let that be our sole place of authority. And so the questioner is asking the question. They're saying, well, if the church wasn't restored until the 1800s, then where was it all the years before, during the years of apostasy of the Catholic Church? By the way, the New Testament predicts that there will be apostasy in the church. Paul says as much in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and that there will be a great apostasy. And then the questioner asks this question, didn't Jesus say that Hades would not overcome his church? And that's a reference to Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 and 19. Where Jesus said to Peter, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so what does that statement mean? Does that mean that the church was going to stand forever, or does that mean something else? Well, first of all, I want to note this, that even if the New Testament church were destroyed on the earth, that is, hypothetically speaking, if there were such a time on the earth where there were no New Testament Christians whatsoever, and by that I mean no people who were practicing New Testament Christianity, it would still be the case that the church would exist spiritually, that is, in heaven. Jesus, after all, is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:18 teach that very clearly. And there is a heavenly Jerusalem as well that the book of Hebrews talks about in Hebrews 12 and verses 22 through 24. And those verses say, but you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And so all of those things that are discussed right there in those verses, which are talking about the church of Jesus Christ, don't exist here upon the earth, but they exist in heaven. And so even if there are no Christians, New Testament Christians on the earth, the church still exists in heavenly form. And in that regard, the gates of Hades are not overcoming the church. So there is more to the church than just its physical presence on earth. Second, most Protestants believe that the Church of Rome, as we talked about in the earlier question, was a corruption, that is, the Catholic Church, was a corruption of the original church that Jesus built, and it needed reforming. That's how the Reformation began. So, the same question could be asked of Protestantism. Well, if there were no Christians alive in the Catholic Church prior to Protestantism, then Could you ask the same question about them? And you could. So really, the question doesn't center around the restoration movement per se, but the possibility that the church may not be in existence on earth. And what would the answer to that question be, we wonder, when asked to those who may be skeptically thinking about the restoration movement itself? Third, we need to understand that just because popular history doesn't record a continuous line of faithful congregations doesn't mean that they didn't exist. Okay? In other words, it may very well be the case that there were New Testament churches all throughout history that simply did not make it into the history books. The history books only reflect what the historians record. And sometimes the historians record exactly what it is they want, not necessarily what God wants. And we know that history itself is not inspired of God. That is, it's man-made, at least when it's not in the inspired Word of God. And in that regard, we simply may not have a historical record of the church throughout the Middle Ages and on further. We may be surprised to learn when we get to heaven that there were many Christians during that time that were faithful to the Lord. We just won't know until we can have God reveal to us that history. The point is this. The assumption of restoration does not necessarily imply the non-existence of that which needs to be restored, as the questioner seems to imply. In other words, just because in one place you need to restore the church back to what the New Testament teaches the church ought to be, doesn't necessarily mean that the church doesn't exist somewhere else. You would have to have universal knowledge to know whether the church did or did not exist in any particular place at any particular time. And as far as I know, no human has universal knowledge. So if someone out there wants to help me on that point, I'll be glad to listen. But I don't think that any human being has universal knowledge of all things. And in that regard, this question is kind of assuming a negative premise in that regard. And so you can't prove anything from a negative. And that's an important point here also. But let's say this in closing, that the Bible contains what's called the seed principle. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, Jesus says the seed is the Word of God. And when we look back through history, we can see and we can know that the Word of God was always there. The Bible has always been, after it was written, it has always been with men. And anyone could go and study the Bible for themselves and learn what they need to do in order to be saved, learn what they need to do in order to be the New Testament church, learn what they need to do in order to be pleasing to God. It may have been difficult to do that in times past, but it could have been done. And in that regard, the church has always existed in seed form. Think about that for just a moment. Let's suppose, this is an illustration, let's suppose that all of the oak trees in the world suddenly died just from a catastrophe of oak trees, all right? They just suddenly died. But yet you still had acorns. Well, is the oak tree extinguished at that point? You would say no, because we still have the acorns, and as long as we have the acorns, we can plant acorns and we can get an oak tree. And so the oak tree is not gone. It's still here in seed form. Such is also true about the church. Maybe the church didn't exist at some point in the past. I don't know. But maybe it didn't. But it's irrelevant. And why is that? Because it did exist in seed form. And as long as it existed in seed form, it was still there. Just like if the oak tree only existed in acorn form, it would still be there. And if you plant that acorn, you'll get an oak tree. And if you plant the Word of God into an honest heart, you will get a Christian and you will get the church that God intended. So it doesn't matter whether the church on earth exists in any particular place at one time or not. Jesus said that His words would never pass away. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. And that meant that the church would always exist in seed form. And of course, the church can't be destroyed from the spiritual realm. And in that regard, Hades can never overcome, that is, death can never overcome the church. Now, the question we should be asking and talking about is this: what is that church and how can I be part of it? And here's the answer to that question. The church is the blood-bought body of Christians that have identified with Jesus Christ by hearing His word, believing it, repenting of sins, confessing their faith in Him, and being baptized for the remission of sins. And the Bible says that's how you become a Christian, and that's how you're added to the church. And there's just one church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. The churches of men can spring up all over the world, but they're not the church if they're not planted by this seed right here. And what does that mean? It means I can establish any kind of church I want to, but it will be my seed. It won't be God's seed that is planted. Well, we want God's seed to be planted, and we want God's seed to grow. We don't want the seed of men to be planted. We can't call those seeds the church of Christ because they are not planted by the Word of God. And so we want to be just that. How can I be part of the church? By obeying the Lord Jesus Christ's commands, by living according to His word, and doing all things with a thus saith the Lord. And so if there's anyone here tonight who would like to be part of the Lord's church, can follow the simple plan that's set forth by Jesus in the gospel and practiced by the apostles in the book of Acts and explained by the apostle Paul in the epistles, and we can all live together in peace and harmony, just using the Word of God as our authority and promising to one another that we're going to let this settle all of our differences right here. And when we do that, we can really have what God wants us to have. But we've got to take self out of it. We've got to take ego out of it. We've got to take our pride out of it. And we've got to just let God's Word reign within our life. And so if anybody is ready to do that tonight, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.